Amen, amen, amen. All right. Well, what I want to do for the next few weeks is talk to you about the subject of faith. One of the things that you're going to find as you get into good fellowship, deep fellowship with the Lord, is that the subject of faith is necessary. Even when you think you know all that there is to know about it, there's still more to learn about it. So I want to ever keep that subject before this congregation, the subject of faith. Because faith is very important to us as believers in Christ. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Yes, indeed, it is. Amen. And so we're gonna dig into that subject and learn a few things about it. And some of it will be revelation to you. Some of it will be, you know, a refresher.
Yes, Lord.
But it's gonna do you good.
Yes.
Because after you hear all of this, you got to apply it. Sure, it can benefit you. Look at these two verses. I want to show you 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Let's look at that. Who's my reader today? You got it? All right, sweet.
For we walk by faith.
For we walk by faith.
Not by sight.
Not by sight. Now, when he says we walk by faith, he's talking about us as believers in Christ. Amen. Now, one of the things that I often tell you guys, we've heard that word all of our lives, basically, faith. You know, like I said, when I was growing up, my grandmother raised me, and so she would always tell me, you have to have faith in God, boy, you need faith in God. You know, she believed in two things, baptism in water and faith in God. And so, but nobody never explained it to me. Nobody never broke it down. They just told you you need to have it.
Amen.
Amen. And that was it. But this scripture says, we walk, that's the believer. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Now, there's more I can say about that. When he talks about sights, he's really talking about the physical senses. Now, but he's talking about the new life that you have in Christ. See, with the new life that you've received through receiving Christ, it is a faith life. You got to walk that new life out by faith.
Amen.
And I'll explain a little bit more of that to you. But let's read another verse. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17.
For therein is the righteousness of God.
Is the righteousness of God
revealed?
Revealed
from faith to faith.
From faith to faith.
As it is written.
As it is written.
The just shall live by faith.
Now the just are those who have been declared legally righteous through the acceptance of Jesus Christ. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
See, the one who's received Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, I always emphasize this here in teaching this, that this is something that you have to be sure of.
Amen.
Amen. You know, going back to when I was a kid and my grandmother, like I said, if you got baptized in water, you were saved. But that's not Bible. You know, and now we don't make light of water baptism because it has a great significance in the life of the believer. But it is not the thing that causes you to be saved. If you've just been baptized in water and believe you're saved, you're not saved.
Yes, Lord.
And if you're not saved, there's a strong possibility that you will miss heaven. Strong possibility there. But now, how is a man saved? He receives Christ by faith.
Amen.
He believed that God raised Jesus in, raised Jesus from the dead, and at that point he received Christ into his life. And upon believing that God raised Jesus from the dead and making a confession of that, you are saved.
Thank you, Father.
You see, that's the Bible way of being saved. Now, people have different ways that they want to be saved, but there ain't but one way. Hallelujah. So those who have been declared legally righteous through the acceptance of Jesus Christ, amen, we're to live by faith. Hallelujah. We're to live by faith. Got it? Now, I want to show you something that's going to make a lot of difference here, which you, should make a difference to you. Look at Hebrews 6. No, Hebrews 11. What it is? Yeah, Hebrews 11, 6. I think that's it. Yeah, Hebrews 11, 6. I want you to read that.
But without faith.
He says, but without faith.
It is impossible.
It is impossible.
To please him.
Now, did you catch that? It's impossible.
Yeah.
So there's no possible way you can please God if there is no faith. Can you see that? For he that cometh to God must what?
Believe that he is.
Must believe that he is and that he is a
rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
See? Now, here's another way we can apply that verse. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Am I going too fast?
No.
All right. I'm not? Good. Feel like I'm going too fast. I'm slow. Amen. Because I want you to understand. See, I'm slow on purpose. Amen. Now, here's another way we can apply that verse. That verse can be applied like this. Without believing in the unseen, you cannot please God.
Amen.
See, without believing in the unseen, you cannot please God. Now, we've been over this time after time. And we know this. Most of you who've been here with me any length of time, you know this. See, unseen things is just as real as seen things. Matter of fact, what you see was made by that which cannot be seen. You see? And I, you know, my testimonies are my life. They are my life. I was coming out of Luland one night. I was driving, coming out of Luland. And I was on that high, turning off of Highway 90, hitting that little Falco bill there. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, things that you see, they are real. They are reality. I said, yes, sir, they're a reality. He says, but what I say to you is more reality than what you can see. You got it? Now you got to be able to see that. You got to be able to see that. So without believing in the unseen, you cannot please God. I don't believe in a thing because I can see it. I believe it because he said it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I didn't see Jesus being raised from the dead, but the word of God says he was raised from the dead. I believe it. And Jesus said this, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Now, I believe that the book of Hebrews 11:1 from Amplified Translation gives us a perfect definition of faith. Amen. Let's look at that for a moment.
Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation,
yes,
the title deed,
yes,
of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact.
Now, pay close attention right here. What it is?
Faith, perceiving as real fact.
Yes.
What is not revealed to the senses.
Whoa.
Let
me see. Got it? Try one more time.
Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Being the proof of things.
Being the proof of things. Pay attention.
We do not see.
We do not see. Faith gives us the proof of the things we don't see. How? Well, we receive those things by faith. And that pleases God. You remember what I told you? We can apply Hebrews 11:6. Without believing in the unseen, you can't please God. Hallelujah. I'm healed. Not because I feel healed. I'm healed because he says I am. I'm prospering. Not because my wallet is full of money. But I'm prospering based on the fact that he said I to prosper.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now, the one thing that I've come to understand over the years is this here. And I see this here happen a lot. I see people who think they know all there is to know about faith, and they don't. Now, how do I know that? And I'm not judging people, but I know it. How do I know it? By their language.
Yes.
See, when a man has a spirit of faith, he talks a certain way.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's not something you rehearse. It flows like water out of a hydrant. It just flows. Amen. Are you listening? Now, here's what I've come to understand over the years is this. Even though we walk by faith, it's a learned behavior. So what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you, you have to learn to do it.
Amen.
See, you have to learn to do it.
Amen.
Because, you see, when you read that definition, see, when we walk by faith, we're not dealing with the physical senses. So, see, we're dealing with things that are not revealed to the senses. But you and I have, all our lives have went by things that are revealed to the senses. See, I deal with things I can see. I deal with things I can feel. I deal with things like that, see, taste. Now, if I can't see it, it has no significance. If I can't feel it, it has no significance. You see? And so when I deal with so things I can't see, I don't fool with that. You see? Now, if the Bible says these things, I believe the Bible is true, but I still don't apply it. So what I do, you know, we talked about this before too in some of our teaching. See, I mental assent to it. I agree that it's true. I agree that it's right, but I don't apply it. I just agree that it's true. I disagree that it's right. And many people do that. They agree that it's right. They agree that it's true, but they don't apply it. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you mental assent to a thing, it's like you say you believe it with your mouth, but in actions, your actions don't show it. You get what I'm saying? So it's something you have to learn. See, it's a learned thing. You learn to walk by faith. You learn to walk by faith. You learn to live by faith. So you learn to do that. That's why the teaching of the word is so important to you. Especially along the lines of faith and things of that nature. See, you got to learn to do that. It's not something you automatically do. It's something you learn. Now, the reason why you have to learn, because it takes changing of your thinking to do it. Amen. And the faith test, the real faith test, comes when there's pressure. Everybody got faith until the poo-poo hit the fan. If y'all don't mind me talking like that. Your cat got faith. Everything got faith. Everything got faith until the pressure comes. Hallelujah. Now, look at Romans 12:3. We deal with this verse a lot, too, in the teachings of faith.
Yes.
Now, I want to show you something here that you got to be able to see. Got it?
For I say, mm-hmm. through the grace given unto me,
yes.
to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think,
yes.
but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Now, God has dealt, now that's the part we want to show you there. God has dealt to every man, you see that? The measure of faith.
Yeah.
Now, some will dispute that. There was a time I would have, because I thought he was talking only to believers. But that's not so. And some people will apply it like that. You can apply it like that, but that's not necessarily the correct way to apply that. He has dealt to every man. Now, what do you have to support that, Pastor? And I believe it like that now. He God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now I'm gonna show you why. The Holy Spirit brought me into this and showed me this. Go to Genesis 1:26.
And God said, let us make man.
See, God said, let us make man.
In our image.
That's whole of humanity.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
What? Let us make man.
In our image.
In our image.
After our likeness.
After our likeness. Now, man is made after the image and likeness of God. God is a faith God. Man is a faith man. All of us, even when we were sinners. Now, when you look at this scripture, over in Romans 12:3, God has dealt to every man. You can't take that away. He has dealt to every man. He has dealt to every man. Every man that was created, God dealt to him a measure of faith because he created him after his own image. Now, here's what you, and here's the proof of it. More proof of it right here. That would include the sinner, if you want to use the word sinner. He has a measure of the God kind of faith. Say, wait a minute. No, I can't wait no minute. Listen. He's even though he is a sinner, he was made one. But he was created after the image and likeness of God. So he has that measure of faith. Now here's the proof of it. Now, let's look at this here verse. I hope you can. Am I going too fast? Look at Romans 10:17. I'll show you this here. Got it?
Yes, sir. So then faith cometh.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, there's another translation that says faith is activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is activated. Now, faith is activated. How is it activated? By hearing. Now, what faith? What are you talking about? I believe he's talking about that measure of faith that was given to all of mankind is activated by hearing the word of God. It's activated. Now, here's the proof of it. And I'm living proof of it. Amen. You can witness to a man who doesn't have Christ and give him the word of God. And the Holy Ghost will quicken him and he'll have faith. Faith will be released in the words that's coming out of your mouth from him. And he's saved by it. Nobody can get saved without faith. See? That measure of faith is activated upon hearing. That would include a sinner. So there are people you can pass by, and there are people that you can pass by, but if you were given a word to give to them, they would be saved off that word that you were supposed to give to them. Are you still with me? Amen. Now, you got to understand, that measure of faith is activated by hearing the word.
Amen.
Now, there's a twofold application there, too, see. But I want you to see the point here. See, it's activated by hearing the word of God. Now, the same thing happens with the believer. You're a believer. See, the measure of faith is activated every time you hear the word of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
That's why your senses or your flesh fight against you hearing the word of God. Because the more you hear the word, the more faith. See, the mindset for faith is developed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's why you have a hard time reading your Bible. That's why you have a hard time listening at your CDs. That's why you have a hard time with that. And it never lightens up. You know? I've been in this nearly 43 years, you see. But guess what? I still have a time, sometimes a hard time reading my Bible. Amen. I have a hard time talking the word. Amen. But I have to force myself to do it. See, you don't do this without being able to discipline yourself to do it. You'll have days where you can just do it, and you'll have other days you have to fight to do it. That's what I try to tell people. When you get into a pattern of not studying, getting in the pattern of not going to church, all of that stuff becomes harder to do when you really need to do it. And after a while, you won't do it at all. Are you listening? Let me see. Now, anybody can understand what I'm saying to you? So, the measure of faith, all of mankind has that measure of faith in him. But it's only activated through hearing the word. Now, I'm going back to the word sinner again. So if a man is a sinner and he never get around the word, that measure of faith is never activated. And if it's never activated, then he never receives from God. That's like having a bank card, but never clear it where you can use it. You see? So when God tells you, when you're going along life highway and God says to you, tell him, I love him. Amen. Don't hesitate. Amen. See, God has prepared him to hear that word. But not only that, when you speak, that's the Holy Ghost in you speaking to him. I'm telling you. And when he hears you, it's almost like he's hearing God. Ava's sister, when we first got married, she used to come by the house all the time. I would see her, I would say, oh God, here she comes. With all this Jesus stuff. Now, I wasn't saved at one time. And, you know, my wife tell you, I wasn't saved in the first 4 months we were married. I mean, the guys used to come over and we'd play cards all night. You know, I never was a beer guy, so I had me a fifth of rum. And I had a lot of Coke. Not cocaine, Coke in the Coke. I had a liter of Coke in the bottle where I mixed with the rum, you see. Then I had times I drank that good gin, you know. And I drank it on the rocks. I didn't put nothing with that gin. I drank it. I drank good gin. I didn't fool no cheap gin. I love good gin. I love it. So I drank that gin. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So, you know. So I switch up every now and then, but most of the time I drink that rum. But there were times I drank good gin. Come on. And we sit up all night long. We sit up all night and play cards. She can tell you, we sit in that house, play cards in the apartment. We had to play cards, you know. And then one day she come in there. But you see, it was God in her.
Yeah.
Let me put it like this. It was the Holy Spirit in her.
Yeah, right.
She looked at it. She had told me this before. Didn't mean that much to me, you know. But this time, something happened. It was different. And she said these words. She says, Adam, Jesus loves you. And I looked at her. And I thought, deep down on the inside of me, those words just traveled deep down on the inside of me. Cut me to the core. And my thoughts was, Jesus loves me. And that put me on the path that I was born to be on. Amen. One of the things that happened to us, we stray from the path that we put here for. Amen. I was born to be a preacher. Amen. But the main thing I didn't want nothing to do with was the church. When I was born to be in it, I was born to support it. I was born for that purpose. That's why I was in the world. But I didn't know it. And that's the main thing I was trying to get away from. And most of you were the same way.
Amen.
You know, I just tried to get away from that, you know. And then I used people as excuses. People were my excuse. I had buddies, them same guys that I used to sit down and play cards with, drink that good gin with. Those boys went to communion on third Sunday of the month. And they was always, come on, go to church. Man, I'm not going to church with y'all. And said, come on. Let's go. I'm not going to church with y'all. And I used to tell them, y'all be scared to be sitting in church. Because y'all doing everything I'm doing. I mean, I'm out here doing all this foolishness and y'all out here doing it too. And I knew it was foolishness and they knew it was foolishness. But you're going to go take communion and say, well, we do go to church one Sunday. And the Sunday you went, you should have stayed home. Now that I understand what communion is, I mean, you should have stayed home that Sunday. You see how the devil had you? He that eat and drink it unworthily. Drink his damn what? To himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Boy, y'all are crazy. When I found that out, I knew they were crazy. Amen. But one of the things that I would say, well, I don't play with God. You know, I use that. I don't play with God. But I had this fear. And what I feared came upon me. I knew if I went to church, I wasn't coming out.
Come on.
And sure enough, when I went to that little sanctified church with my wife, you know, I went there with her, you know, because her sister kept asking me, go to church. And one Thursday evening, I told her, I'm going to go to church, which I guess Ava was shocked when I told her I was going to go to church. I used to walk her to church and go back home. But the church was right off the corner from where we live, so I walk her to church and go back home, you know. And when I think she's about ready to get out, I'll go back. Nah, walk her back home, you know. But, oh, God, no. Mm-mm. I'm not going to church. And then she just looked so bad to me. She always had on a long dress and she didn't wear no makeup. And oh, God, I thought. Then when she did go to church, she had the little white thing on her head. I think, oh. And I was saying, I hope Ava don't turn like this here, man. And I'm not trying to be funny now. I'm really not trying to be funny. That stuff. When I looked at her. But I come to, and I got worse than all by everybody when I got in there. Huh? I cut grass with church shoes on, long sleeves on, and oh, dress pants. Oh, man. Cut all my hair off my head. You know what I mean? Amen. I just wanted to look like holy man. Amen. Didn't I, Ava? I mean, I got worse than everybody. And I had everybody off cold. I said, man, y'all drinking cold drinks. I said, man, y'all messing y'all body up. Coffee, too. I got everybody off coffee. I had everybody scared of coffee. I had them scared of the TV. She can tell you, I didn't watch TV for 2 years and 9 months. I thought all you're supposed to do is read your Bible. And that's what I did. I read my Bible. Amen. But something drew me into that. But I, I wanted to know. You know, I wanted to know. I wanted to know about this. I don't want no fooling around. I want to know. Because if I'm a fool around, I need to go back out there where I came from. Amen. Because I ain't lying to you. I had some good times, but I was still miserable. Yeah. But anyway, so this life of faith, you got to learn how to live it. Even though you're dealt the measure of faith, you got to learn how to live it. See, that's why God gives us inspired teachers. Amen. But who are they inspired by? The Holy Ghost. Amen. You see? And so you got to learn how to live it. Amen. So it's vital, it's necessary for you to come sit and hear what's being taught to you in the way of the Word. Amen. Because the whole ordeal is a learning process. And you know, in learning stuff, you have favorite subjects. And then you have subjects you don't like. And you got some subjects that are just boring to you. But you need all of them. You know, I look out sometimes, see some of y'all just bored. But I know you don't do no reading and study during the week. So how you going to come here and get excited? That ain't going to happen. Amen. All right, now, this 12 and 3, we've been dealt the measure of faith. All of us have been dealt the measure of faith. Now, to live by that faith is not going to be automatically. See, it's activated by hearing. And it's a fight to hear. Now, I don't have time to read this to you this morning, but you have to read what he says. The soul went out, the soul... The word, and it's like seed. Some fell here, some fell there, and that's still happening today. You see, but the condition—that's due to the condition of the heart of the believer. Amen. So you follow me so far? Look at this here. Look at 14th chapter of St. John. 14th chapter of St. John. Look at verse 26. Read it from the King James.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name,
uh-huh.
he shall teach you all things
uh-huh.
and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Now, what I want you to see here is that the Holy Spirit has a ministry to us as believers. But now, his ministry to us takes place as we are in the Word. Now, if you live outside of the Word, he doesn't have an opportunity to minister to you. But now what he does in this whole process, and take for instance what we're doing now. He's ministering to you, the Holy Spirit is, but he's doing it through me. But now, if you will take what I'm giving you and you will take it and meditate it, study it, then he will begin to work with you as an individual. Can you understand what I just said? Amen. See, that's how it works with you. Now watch what the verse says again. Now listen.
But the Comforter. Which is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things.
See, he will teach you all things. See, this is why Jesus emphasized to his disciples that it was necessary that they be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because, see, he ministers to them. But you got to understand this. He ministers to the inward man. He doesn't minister to your intellect, your mind. He ministers, rather, to your spirit. You see? Now, I was listening to a man today a little bit this morning. I heard him the other day, too. He said he was invited to preach at a church, and the minister told him, preach what's ever in your heart. He said, oh, you don't want that. There's all kind of stuff in my... Well, my thoughts was, you can't be saved then. Because when a man is saved, see, and he ministers from his heart, he's ministering the will of God.
Amen.
That's why I tell sometimes guys, you know, some of the guys we talk sometimes, and they ask me what I think about anything, and what you think about this, or what should I do about this, or what should I say, well, let your heart, I say, follow your heart. Well, I didn't tell him anything wrong. Follow your heart. Because that's where God speaks. That's where the Holy Ghost ministers to you. Your heart. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I try to get the people that's under my teaching. Now, we do receive prophecies and all of that. We do. I receive them. You receive them. But you see, I don't base my life on them without the witness. So I don't. Now, don't y'all get offended. So I don't run around looking for people to give me a word. I study the word to live the word. Do you understand me? Because, listen to me, every word that someone gives you, you have to know how to deal with that. Now, I'm not knocking people. People can have a genuine word from God to you. But you need to be in the word so you can discern what they're saying to you. And you can't always go around asking everybody else what somebody else is saying to you. Now, see, y'all ain't gonna get mad, right? See, when I give you a word, don't go ask everybody what you think about what the pastor said. That's how you miss it. That's how you miss it. You start praying in the Holy Ghost about what was given to you. And then let your spirit begin to speak to you. And then when you like that, you have words you receive and words you don't. Some word, now some of y'all been with me and I'm your shepherd. You should know. You should know my spirit by now. You should know me by now. Amen. And then some of you, I don't be going to give you no word anyway. But I follow the unction of the Holy Ghost. Because I already know what y'all going to do with them. Everybody don't trust me. Especially when you're dealing in reason. You don't even trust Jesus. So I don't get no kick out of giving you no word. I ain't on no word kick with you. But, you know, if it come, it come. And when I tell it to you, I'm released from it. What you do with it is up to you. But you can do the wrong thing with it. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You get what I'm saying? Amen. If you question every word that's given to you, you don't have faith in the word that's coming to you. Are y'all listening to me? I was listening to that Brother Hagin one time. He said, Abel may have heard the same thing. It was prophesied to him that he would be sick, but the sickness would not be unto death. And he said, I didn't receive that. But 6 months later, everything on his right side went out. And he was nearly paralyzed. Huh, Amen? But the woman who gave him that word was accurate. So there are words that you can get. They are accurate. Amen. But we only question the word that we receive from people who we don't believe in. Now, what did all this has to do? See, all of this have to, here's what I'm saying, with the verse that she just read, you see. The Holy Ghost will teach you all things. See, he will teach you all things. But now, how does he do that? He does it as you apply yourself in the word, as you meditate the word, as you study the word, as you speak the word, as you act upon the word. See, he begins to minister to you. Yes. See, he doesn't have a ministry to you outside of the word. But now, in that same process, you see, the mentality for faith is being built. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? But now the strongest witness, if you have a witness from the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you, the stronger you can act in faith. Do you understand that? Now, you can act in faith in just hearing the word of God. You can act in faith in that. You can act, I heard that, so I have faith in that. Because faith is activated, or faith cometh by hearing, right? But if the Holy Ghost is in those words, in that word, faith coming by hearing. But the Holy Ghost is in those words. Now, here's what I want you to see. Every word that you hear is not from God. And I'm talking about teaching and preaching now. All teaching and all preaching is not inspired by the Holy Spirit. But there are teachings and there are preaching that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Then see, faith is activated when the teaching and the preaching is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But now, there's a thing in that you got to see. Most word that's preached and taught by the Holy Spirit will do three things. It would exalt you, reprove you. Amen. Now, how you told him? Teach the word in season, out of season. Reproof. Well, you know, you got to find that scripture. But there are three things it does. See, a lot of times, this is the danger of sitting under the word for a long time and not doing anything with it. You can't take reproof. But if you can't take reproof, you can't grow. You remember we talked about this one time? All of this has to do with faith. All this has to do with the faith life. You can't take it. You can't take reproof. See, nobody gets to the point that they're so perfect they can't be. The correction don't come. Nobody get to that point. Even me as your pastor, there are words that will come that will correct me.
Yes.
And I cannot dismiss those words. Because, now listen, are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, in the process of receiving all of that, the mentality of faith is built. Now, I'm gonna say this, and they're trying to tell me it's time to go. See, they always put me on, you know, tell me it's time to go. But now, I'm giving you a whole lot of stuff, but I don't know if you understand any of it. Are you understanding just a little bit of it?
Yes, sir.
See, this is the other side of the fake message people don't hear. We hear, speak it. There it is. And that's right. But there are so many things that precede that. Amen. You'll be surprised of all the people that done backslide who sit in church and look at you every Sunday. They shipwreck where faith is concerned. See, you don't use faith just for things. You use it for living.
Yes.
As well as things. Most of the time we want to use faith when it comes to things, but not our living. The Bible says we live by what? Faith. You got to live. You got to use it for living. Not just to get a car. Not just to get a good job. Not to just get a big house. You have to have faith for living. And so there are words that come to you It is not talking about your car, your house, your money. It's talking about your life. And then when you dismiss that, you'll dismiss faith. You see, that's one-sided faith. And we become one-sided. If we're not careful, we'll become one-sided with faith. And yes, I need faith for the house I want. Yes, I need faith for the car I want. Yes, I need faith for the money that I need. I need faith for that. But I also need faith for living this life out. See, I need faith in the word that's coming to me that tells me this is the wrong path you on. I don't see myself on the wrong path, but if that word came to me and said that I'm on the wrong path, I receive it by faith and make the necessary adjustments. But it's not you that's really making the adjustments. It's God in you. In the person of the Holy Spirit that's helping you make the adjustments.
Yes, sir.
You don't get past making adjustments. And you need faith to make them. I need faith. See, in the words, faith cometh. See, what, faith that I'm wrong? Not so much faith that you're wrong. You need faith to see you wrong. So you can make the adjustment. If you can't see you wrong, what you gonna adjust? See, you just can't go in life. You can't go living life and say, well, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. You can't do that. Huh? You remember? What's seeking the kingdom? He said, first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? What is that? God's way of doing and being right. Oh, Lord. I'm about to let you go. Okay, music people, I'm about to let them go. But I want to get that over to you. I'm about to let you go. That was, let me let you look at this here. I'm, hallelujah. I told y'all I'm full. Amen. I want to tell you this here. I don't just do this to talk to you. But I do this to myself as well.
Yes, Lord.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I want the testimony that I pleased God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Right. Glory to God.
I want that testimony.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I did it his way.
Amen.
I want that testimony.
Amen.
I want it more than I want money.
Go ahead.
Amen.
I want it more than I want anything else. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. And it's right. Your life, the Bible says, is like a vapor, which appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I come close to that.
Yes, Lord.
And when you've been there, nothing means more to you than pleasing God. Because in the final analysis of your life, you want that testimony. Amen. All of that other foolishness, you come to find out a lot of stuff you fool with now ain't nothing but a bunch of foolishness. If you ever come to the door of getting out of here, you will know the value of the things that I'm trying to get over to you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
None of this stuff is worth it. Ain't nothing worth doing it my way. It ain't worth it.
Amen.
Because, guys, you got to give an account for this stuff. But you got help to help you keep it in perspective.
Yes.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Now watch this here. Let me show you this and I'm going to let you go. I promise you, I'm going to let you go. But I would be incomplete if I didn't show you this. Look at the 16th chapter. Look at verse 8. Read verse 8 through 13 for me. King James. St. John.
16 verses.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 16, verses 23 to...
No, 16, 13.
Okay.
I mean 16, 8 through 13.
Okay. And when he is come...
Now listen, when he is come...
He will reprove the world of sin.
Now you often hear me say this. He has a ministry, talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
To the church and the world. Say, when he has come, he will reprove what?
The world of sin.
Of sin.
And of righteousness.
Uh-huh.
And of judgment.
Uh-huh.
Of sin, because they believe.
Now, watch this. See, he does this to us when we're without Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But he also does this when we're in Christ. But now, what's the difference? When I was outside of Christ and she told me Jesus loved me, it was the Holy Spirit in her telling me Jesus loved me.
Yes, Lord.
He used her to bring me to a point of conviction.
Hallelujah.
Conviction of my sin life, my unrighteousness before God. And I see you got to be a very stubborn person to resist that power. It can be resisted, but you got to be very stubborn to do it. You get what I'm saying? See, it's the same thing with people who pray. People who pray can pray the power of God down on you, but they can't make you yield to it. Now, he has this ministry. He reproves the world of sin, right? Righteousness, and what else?
And of judgment.
Read.
Of sin, because they believe not on me.
Uh-huh.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more.
Uh-huh.
Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
Right, that's Satan.
I have yet many things to say unto you.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I want you to see. The Holy Spirit does this to the unbeliever and the believer. Now, how does he do it to the believer? What's the difference there? He does it to the believer. Most of the time, 80% of the time, he does it through the word.
Yeah.
What he does, go back. He reproved the world. Now, go back to that part again. I want to show you.
He will reprove the world of sin.
See, he reproved the world of sin. Now, what he does, now, to the believer, it's not that he reproved reprove us of sin so much as what we do that's not right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, we don't practice sin. Now, we may sin, but we don't practice it. But when we do get off track, see, he reproves us.
Yeah.
How does he do it? Through the word.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Unrighteous acts, he reproves us for it. How? Through the word. Most of the time, 80% of the time, it's coming through the word. Can you see that?
Yes.
See, it comes through the word. Now, he does this through the word. Go ahead.
He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Uh-huh.
Of sin, because they believe not on me.
Uh-huh.
Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more.
Uh-huh.
Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged.
Uh-huh.
I have yet many things to say unto you.
Now watch.
But ye cannot bear them now.
See, there are a lot of things I can say to you, but you can't hear them now. Boy, when we learn that as preachers, and I'm trying to learn that. See, everything I need to say to you, can't hear it. And there are things he won't tell me now because I can't hear it. You see? You can always tell somebody what you think about them, but can you tell them what he said to them or what he thinks about them? See, that stuff is unveiled, man. Amen. I was talking to a young man one time, and he told me, I know I can pastor. And I thought, whoa, he better than me. I've been doing it and don't know I can do it. I can't do it without him. And a lot of people, they set under people who know they can pastor. They're not necessarily led to pat in that. They just know they can do it. And they're doing it on their own. Read this. Finish reading that and I'm going.
Howbeit when he.
Now watch. Howbeit when he.
The Spirit of Truth.
The Spirit of Truth.
Is come. He will guide you.
That's talking about the Holy Spirit. He will guide you.
Into all truth.
Oh, all reality. Now, reality of the redemptive work of Christ.
Yes.
Reality of where you are in that.
Yes.
God. He will guide you into all truth. Now watch.
For he shall not speak of himself.
He shall not speak of himself.
But whatsoever.
He shall hear.
That shall he speak. And he will show you things to come.
Whoa.
Thank you, God.
Now you don't think you need the operation of faith to receive the things that are to come?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. And he's not talking about just world events. He's talking about personal events in your life as well.
Yes.
He'll show you things to come.
Yes.
Amen. Now, last thing. If I was king in this here like I should have been, amen. There are a lot of things that happened to me wouldn't have happened. Because he was showing it to me all the time.
Yes.
But I wasn't sensitive enough to perceive it. You get what I'm saying? But when he shows you something, it's almost impossible for you not to have faith. No, you didn't hear me. See, faith don't come by just hearing words. They come by hearing the word of God. You can you see that? Amen. And it's something about hearing the word of God. You know that you've heard the word of God when you hear it. You don't know by your intellect, you know by your spirit. I know I've heard the word of God. I know I've heard it. But that which you know, that you know, that you know, nobody, not even the devil himself, can take it away from you. Yeah. In my ordeal, when Jesus, his eyes, I saw his eyes. I couldn't see nothing but his eyes. I knew who eyes they were. And he said this to me. He said, "You are healed." It sealed the deal. It was done. I had faith in what he said. How you know that was him? I knew that it was him. That's what I'm saying. When you know that you've heard the word, nobody can take it away from you. So that's what I'm telling you. When you hear the word of God, it's almost impossible not to have faith. God bless you.
Hallelujah.